I'd like you to turn with me first of all to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 1, on page 1410, comes after Galatians. And at the end of verse 6 of chapter 1, the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offences according to the riches of his grace. And then can we go back to Luke's Gospel again in chapter 7. It's on page 1232. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees begged him that he would eat with him. And entering into the house of the Pharisee, he took his place at table. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner and knew that he was sitting at meat in the house of the Pharisee, having taken an alabaster box of myrrh and standing at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the myrrh. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke with himself, saying, This person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what the woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he says, Teacher, say it. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him most? And Simon answering said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me not water on my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me not a kiss, but she from the time I came in has not ceased kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with myrrh. For which cause I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven, loves little. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that were with him at table began to say within themselves, Who is this who forgives also sins? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And one more reference, if you bear with me, in the Epistle to the Colossians, in chapter 3, page 1425. And verse 12, 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any should have a complaint against any, even as the Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. You'll probably notice the thought I have on my mind in the preaching tonight is the matter of forgiveness. That verse we sung in our hymn, Forgiveness now is preached through him who died, the Lord of glory who is crucified. Wonderful fact, isn't it, that God is prepared to forgive man. And he has a basis to forgive man as well. We find it one of the hardest things to do sometimes when someone's offended us, that we find it really hard to forgive them. Maybe for something they've said, maybe for something they've done. But God in his great heart of love is tonight prepared to forgive man, his creature. Because man, we have all offended God, we have all sinned against the holy and righteous God. In one sense there's nothing that we can do about that because we were born in a sinful condition. It says all have sinned. We're born in a sinful condition on the basis of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. By one man sin entered into the world. And by sin death, and thus death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. A sinful condition, and we're sinners by nature. We have offended God. It's not exactly that we sin against one another, it's we've sinned against God. Think of that Psalm 51 of David, when he sinned against her, when he'd taken the wife of Uriah and committed adultery with her. When he confesses his sin, he says, "Against thee only have I sinned." He's speaking to God. So we realize that we are what we are before God. But I just want to bring to bear upon our hearts tonight the great matter of forgiveness that there is in the blessed heart of God towards us as sinful creatures and towards mankind. And that's why I started with this first scripture in Luke 23. When you think of this moment when the Lord Jesus was taken by these wicked men, these soldiers, think of those Jews, the chief priests and the scribes who delivered up Jesus that he might be crucified. They did it through envy. They did it through hatred. They did it through spite. And then these Roman soldiers, how they maliciously treated the body of Jesus, how they beat him, how they spat at him. Think of Jesus being scourged by Pilate. Think of the awful treatment. And then we come to this point when they come to this place called Skull, the place of a skull. There they crucified him. Think of the intensity of those words, what are contained in those words. There they crucified him. Think of the most hateful and ignominious and spiteful method of killing someone. It wasn't stoning, it was crucifixion, reserved for the worst of criminals, devised by the Romans in all their wickedness. And there they crucified him. One robber on one side, a malefactor on one side, and one on the other. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think of Peter in the beginning of Acts there. In that first preaching, he says, "I know that you did it through ignorance." And then Paul says in Corinthians, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Yes, they didn't. You might say they didn't know what they're doing. Didn't know what they were doing, but in one way they deliberately knew what they were doing. They said, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us." But think of these wonderful words of Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I would like you to consider what Jesus was suffering at this moment. He was a man, a real man. He felt those wounds. He felt the treatment. He felt the abuse from every hand. Of course, it was nothing compared to with what he was going to have to endure from the hand of his God. But he felt the treatment of these men. It says in Hebrews, doesn't it, by whom he made the worlds. Who was Jesus? Who was this? Who then is Jesus? The one who they were crucifying, who they put on that cross. Oh, my dear hearer, I would like you to sit in your seat tonight and just consider the greatness of who this person is, who this person was. God manifest in flesh. God become man. We cannot understand it, but we can contemplate it and think about it. And this was the man that wicked men took and crucified. And Jesus' words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then I read in that scripture in Ephesians, "The beloved in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offences," or the forgiveness of sins, through his blood. What does that convey? Through his blood. It conveys to me the price that had to be paid, that forgiveness might be offered to men today. Redemption, price is paid on the blood of Jesus. Think of the moment when Jesus was on that cross. I've spoken of the ignominy and shame, the treatment of men. Think of those who passed by, "Save thyself and us." The mockery, the jeering. And then in the midst of those hours on the cross, after 3 hours, God clothing that scene in darkness, that holy scene, when transaction took between the blessed God and his Son on that cross. After these words of Jesus has spoken, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," Jesus knew what he was going to have to endure, the intensity of the suffering of sin. This great matter that had to be resolved between God and man. God could not offer forgiveness. He could not offer salvation without there being a basis, a righteous basis whereby he could welcome the sinner back. There was a distance between man and God. An incredible distance that no man could cover, no man could remove. Jesus hasn't only covered it, he's removed the distance in relation to his death. But that was the redemption through his blood. It is the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. The 3 hours of darkness, as I said, where God poured out his judgment on Jesus' head. We cannot penetrate it. We can only hear the words of Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was no answer from his God. He was forsaken of God completely. What it must have meant to Jesus to be abandoned in that moment on the cross as God poured out that judgment upon his head. Compressed into those 3 hours, the intensity of suffering for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And it's through his blood. Jesus gave up. He said he died having given up his spirit. With a loud cry, he died. And then the soldier came to his side with that spear and pierced his side. And the blood of Jesus was shed from his side. Forthwith flowed blood and water. Great matter, redemption. It's Christ. It's through his blood. Your sins can be forgiven because Jesus' blood has been shed. When I see the blood, God could say how important the blood of Jesus is. Without the blood, there's no gospel, my friend. There are those who may not want to speak about the blood, but its value is so important. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Do you know it was shed for rebels? It was shed for sinners. But I can say it was shed for me. And I can point to the blood and say this made my peace with God. Peace has been made by the blood of his cross. So God can look at the blood. He can see that blood is for God and the water which can cleanse us from our sins. Wonderful matter, dear friend, to bring upon us tonight the matter of our sins and to know we can have peace and we can be forgiven our sins. Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? When people do forgive you for something that you've done to them, when you've offended them and really hurt them, when they say, I forgive you, what a wonderful feeling comes over your soul. Well, you think of that massively increased when God can forgive you through the blood of Jesus. He can forgive you your sins. How many they are, I don't know. All I know is my own history. It's not that God forgives and forgets, because God can't forget exactly, but he removes. He says, as far as from the east is from the west, so shall be your sins. I will never remember them anymore. If you confess your sins before God tonight and ask for forgiveness, he can forgive you. He can give you peace, and he will not bring up your sins against you again. The enemy of our souls, the devil, he often brings up our past, doesn't he? We've all got a history, we've all got a past, and the devil likes to remind us of it. But God isn't interested in your past, he's interested in your future, my friend. And he wants to bless you. The blessings that God has in mind for you are wonderful. They're tremendous and are available to you tonight through the preaching of his word. So I read of this woman in Luke 7, because this is a lovely passage of scripture. Think of this Pharisee begging that Jesus would come in and have a meal with him. I wonder why he did it. Maybe he thought it would give him kudos amongst the rest of the Pharisees. I don't know. But he begged for him, and Jesus came in and took his place at table. And I want you to think about this woman. All it says about her, a woman in the city who was a sinner. It doesn't say what her sins were. It says that she was a woman in the city and she was a sinner. How did she know that Jesus was there? It doesn't tell us. How did she know that Jesus was available? Well, it said in the previous section of the scripture, in verse 22, when John had asked about Jesus, it says, blind see, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, poor are evangelized. I wonder whether she'd heard something about Jesus. I'm sure she had, and she knew where to find him. Do you know where to find Jesus tonight, my friend? He's not here on earth, but he's in heaven, and he's waiting to save you from your sins. He's waiting to forgive you. He wants to bless you. So you say, well, what do I have to do to get the blessing? You have to repent. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with this woman, you will notice she didn't say a thing. It's not recorded she said anything. And yet Jesus forgave her. Well, how was that? Because I think she showed works of repentance. She showed how much she knew what a sinner she was. Scripture records that she was a sinner. And she felt those sins. Have you ever felt your sin so much that it's caused you to weep? Think of that. This weeping woman comes to Jesus, weeping. Tears falling on his... tears falling on his feet, standing as he began to wash his feet with tears. Oh, the tears of repentance. I trust that each of us know what it is to have tears of repentance before a holy and righteous God. And it doesn't matter if you are the worst sinner in the whole world. Forgiveness can be offered to you tonight on the basis of repentance. God waits tonight with arms outstretched to bless. He wants to bless you. He loves you. He's given his own son for you. He's given everything that you might be forgiven. There's no excuse for you turning away from God tonight. You have no excuse to say, the gospel's not for me, because the gospel's for everyone. And how embracing it is, whosoever will, to anybody in the whole wide world tonight, can find forgiveness, can find peace with God in coming to the feet of Jesus. Just like this dear woman here. Well, I said I want you to concentrate on the woman, and that's true, because she doesn't say anything. But then this Pharisee, and this Pharisee is like so many of us, he sat there and said in his heart, if this man were a prophet, he'd have known who and what the woman is, for she is a sinner. What a spirit this man had. He didn't say it out loud, but he said it in his heart. And that's something for us to think about, that God knows even what we're thinking in our hearts. He knows what's going on inside here. You might not even give audible expression to it. We might not know. Nobody else might know. But God knows. Heart knowing God. And so Jesus says, I have somewhat to say to thee. Well, I think the Lord would have something to say to each of us tonight. Whatever state of soul we're in, or what condition in our life, whatever stage we've arrived at, he'd have something to say to us. But he has something to say to this Pharisee. And so he says, say it. Well, we'll be prepared to say to the Lord, well, you say it to me. Well, the Lord tells him about this creditor. And there were two debtors. One owed 500, say £500, another owed 50, just for sake of clarity. And he says that they had nothing to pay. Now that is our condition. Whether we're a great sinner, however you might view yourself, or a little sinner, God has a claim upon you. And we've all have liabilities that have to be met. Whether, you know, there's a thing going around today that you can just clear your debts. But you know, if debts are cleared, someone has to pay the price. They're not just removed. Someone somewhere has to pick up the tab. Well, in relation to our debts, in relation to God, they have to be accounted for. And Jesus has met our liabilities in the cross. As I said, forgiveness can be offered to you tonight through the blood of Jesus. But, dear friend, there has been a tremendous cost. The gospel is free, but it's not without price, not without cost. Jesus has paid the cost that you might be set free from your sins. That God can offer you forgiveness tonight because Jesus has died. He suffered. And so he speaks to Simon and he says, which of them had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him the most? Well, we might say, who would appreciate it greater, the one who had a small debt or the one with a greater debt? Well, Simon's natural thinking was, well, I suppose, he says, he to whom forgave the most, thou hast rightly judged. So the Pharisee Simon, he had a right judgment, didn't he? He understood that. He says, and then he turns to this woman, and he can speak of her. And he told Simon what he hadn't done. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't do that we should do. And Simon hadn't done what he should have done. But then he speaks about this woman. And he tells her that she has washed my feet with tears. and wipe them with her hair. Think of that. She was prepared, speaks of hair as a woman's glory. She was prepared to lay her glory at the feet of the Saviour, feet of Jesus. Are you prepared to humble yourself tonight? Are you prepared to do away with your pride and come to the feet of Jesus and ask him to forgive you your sins? This woman was prepared for that. She had no standing. Her reputation was well known. She was a sinner. You've no standing. You might have a standing amongst men, but God knows us all. We're all the same before God. We're on the same level, same platform. As I said earlier, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one. So I can't point the finger at you, friend. I could only point the finger at myself. There's no pointing or fingers at anybody. It's just listening to what God has to say to us and to realize that we can be forgiven. You know, the matter of your sins is a serious matter. It has to be thought of. It has to be met. If you don't ask for repentance, if you don't ask for forgiveness, your sins will remain. And there'll come a time when you will have to answer in relation to your sins. You see, God has made this great salvation available to all. And he's offering it to everybody today. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of grace. And God is offering free forgiveness to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. But if you reject it, friend, you will have to answer to your sins. If you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins. If the Lord comes again before you have repented, it will be too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is your opportunity. It would appear to me that this woman in Luke 7, she had one opportunity and she seized it with both hands. And I'd like that to be your attitude tonight. Seize the moment and seek forgiveness. Or seek repentance. Repent towards God and he will grant you forgiveness. A wonderful thing to be forgiven. So he says to her, he speaks about what this woman had done. She, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with myrrh. I think she had an appreciation of where the feet of Jesus were going to take him. Myrrh speaks of suffering. And she knew that for her sins to be forgiven, Jesus would have to suffer. For you to be forgiven, my friend, Jesus has suffered tremendous suffering. And we never, ever, ever realize how great the suffering was for Jesus because he was a sinless man. He had no reason to die. He did not deserve to die. We all deserve to die, but Jesus had no reason to die. He sacrificed his life. He gave up his life that we might live, that we might be forgiven. And so this woman had an appreciation of where those feet were going to wend towards Calvary's cross, where he was going to be made the sin offering. And so then he says, for which cause I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much, but he to whom little is forgiven loves little. That's a shaft to my soul. He who loves much, for she loved much, for he to whom little is forgiven loves little. How great is our love for the Saviour? Have we a sense of how great a sinner we are, or do we just think of ourselves as a little sinner? He said, thy sins are forgiven. What a moment that was for that woman. And it caused another question. Those that were sitting at table began to say within themselves, who is this who forgives also sins? It says in the scripture that God forgives sins. He's the only one who forgives sins. Gives you an impression, an understanding of who was standing there was God, as I said, God manifest in flesh, Jesus himself. I said, thy faith said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Would you like to have peace in your soul tonight? Would you like to have a sense that everything has been settled, that whatever happens in your life from this moment on, whether you die, whether you suffer, that you have peace with God, eternal peace and security, knowing that everything is resolved, everything is settled. There can be nothing better when you're in debt to have that debt met and everything to be settled and resolved. And I think God would speak to our hearts tonight that have a sense of forgiveness, how wonderful it must be. It can be done because Jesus has died and he was shed his blood and he was buried. And the great matter is not only was he buried, but he rose again from the dead. Your sins, my friend, were carried into the grave with Jesus. And that's where they will stay if you put your faith and trust in him. Because he's come out of the grave victorious. He's defeated the power of sin, the power of Satan, and my friend, the power of death. He's overcome it all. ascended up into heaven. This is a wonderful person is Jesus. This woman never found anybody like him. And I say, you'll never find anybody like Jesus. Or a man, someone who never lets you down. Everyone else will let you down. Jesus will never let you down. And all the way home safe. And he's going to be yours tonight. You're going to have joy in your heart and peace. These matters settled and resolved before a holy and righteous God. We're living in very perilous days. We're living in a time when we're coming to the end of this wonderful, what we call a dispensation, this period when God's grace has been preached and is offered, forgiveness is offered. It's soon coming to an end. It has to come to an end. But in the meantime, God is reaching out to you that you might turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Well, I just read that last section in Colossians. I think it's a great test to me, and I expect it to be a great test to everyone here. And this is an effect of the gospel, really, is what is to be put on. We put on a new man, a new person. Coming to Christ, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. These features of Jesus that come out in believers cannot be done in a natural or human way. It has to be by the work of the Holy Spirit. God seals his work, and God will give you his Spirit. The great blessing in the gospel is the Holy Spirit, as given as a gift. You have the gift of your forgiveness, gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can walk your life here as a believer on the Lord Jesus with the power of God with you. He is a divine and holy person. He takes his abode in Christians, in believers. And he is here to help you and sustain you on your pathway. And so we have this list here, don't we? We are put on therefore as elect of God. And it's in a state of having done it. So these features are to be seen. Holy and beloved, bowels of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Where were these features seen? These features were seen in Jesus when he walked on this earth. And they're to be seen in Christians and believers today. So there might be a reflection of the blessed heart of the blessed God in us. I fail in this. I heartily acknowledge before you. But it's not to discourage us, but to encourage us that these features might be known. And I believe they are a great test to us at the present time. And forgiving one another. Forgiving one another if any should have a complaint against any. Even as the Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. I'll just leave that with us. I can't say much about it. It's just, I think, trust that the word may have a bearing upon our hearts. This matter of forgiveness has been on my heart in relation to this preaching. May you know what the joy that there is to be found in being forgiven. Well, may it be so for his name's sake.